Next, we're going to talk about the word usury, a word that brings up memories of the Bible or Shakespeare, his reviled moneylender Shylock. Over time, usury or moneylending lost its stigma and bankers became masters of the universe. They're still that way, despite the financial meltdown. We spoke to financial historian Charles Geist, who has written a new book on consumer debt. He would like to see usury laws brought back.
Usury originally meant, and this was actually a biblical reference to it, in fact, several in the Old Testament, meant the charging of interest. And in the Middle Ages, it became used more or less as a symbol of charging interest, taking advantage of your fellow man. More toward the modern period, let's say after the Industrial Revolution, usury took on a slightly different connotation of meaning charging excessive interest, which is what we consider it today. So it's, in other words, it's not just charging interest, it's charging excessive interest.
Why was it that so many religious leaders considered usury or charging interest to be immoral? What was immoral about loaning money to somebody who needed money?
Charging interest was charging someone for time. I mean, I think that most people today understand that quite easily. In the Middle Ages, up until the Middle Ages, and still in some places, charging for time is something that only God can do, and that man can't do this. In other words, man usurps God's role, charging for money, believe it or not. And that has been a very strong, powerful prohibition over the centuries. And this is making money through lack of work. It's something that the idle rich, or those who want to be idle and rich, practice. It's not considered work, and that was one of the other problems with it.
Putting your money to work was not considered moral. It was not considered real work that you should profit from.
That's right.
And how did that begin to change?
In the 19th century, most American states had usury laws to make sure that long-term contracts like mortgages charged reasonable rates of interest. The other side of it was on what we now know as consumer loans, which evolved very gradually before they exploded in the 1920s. The consumer interest usury ceilings started to collapse in the 1920s due to pressure from various interest groups, including the banks, who wanted to loan money to people and actually charge more. Their excuse for it at the time was that one of the major bete noirs of American society, which was the loan shark, would therefore be put out of business. If there were more commercial lenders, could actually get into the fray.
Oh, my gosh. It's like the argument for legalizing drugs. We'll take the illegal money out of the system by committing the crime legally.
Yes. That one's been used before. But it was used very successfully in the 1920s, and many of the state legislatures started to roll back the usury laws on consumer interest, what we would call consumer interest.
Well, let's talk about what you are describing when you talk about bringing back usury laws, because I presume you're not talking about banning all money lending. You're talking about banning excessive interest rates. What do you mean by that?
If we could impose a usury ceiling, or, for instance, maximum credit card charges of, let's say, 15%, then that 15%, let's say for the riskier borrowers, would at least allow them some hope of paying back their debts in time. At 30, 40, or 50%, it's very difficult, if ever, to get out from under that debt burden.
I can hear the credit industry lobbyist saying now, you know, somewhere out there is a consumer who's a high risk but needs the money and wants the money, and they're not going to be served. They're going to be denied credit. It's going to be bad for the economy.
Well, just simply to stuff a mailer in the mail and some guy on the other end opens his mailbox and finds out that he's got a $2,500 credit line when he probably hasn't seen that much money in the last month or two is very enticing. But that's not really the democratization of credit. That's just taking advantage of someone.
Charles Geist is the author of Collateral Damaged, The Marketing of Consumer Debt to America. Thanks very much.
My pleasure.
And you can find an excerpt of his book at thenewnpr.org.